Beginning here on the top of Yud Tzimut Aleph with the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Chamisha damim me'im bisha. There are five colors of blood that are problematic with a woman. Hadom, if it's red. Veshachor, if it's black. Uche keren karkom, like a bright crocus. Rashi explains to us that the word keren here comes from kikaran or panav. Has to do with radiating or shining of light. So it means bright. Karkom or crocus. Ukememe adama, a mixture of muddied water. Ukemazug, diluted wine. Bechemai omrim, afkememe tlatan, ukeme basar tzli. Shemai adds in two more colors. One of them is a mixture of water and fenugreek. And the other one is basar tzli, the drippings that come out of roasted meat. Beitilel mitarim, Bedel says those two are tahor. Hayarok. Now here when we talk about yarok, we're not talking about green. Tosafot will say this explicitly on the next amud, but in the Gemara when they use the term yarok, it means yellow. And the Gemara wants to say green, either says yirak kareket or yarok karti. But over here, when it's using the term yarok, it means yellow. So yellow, akavya ben mehalel mitamei, says it's problematic. V'chamim mitarim, v'chamim says it's not a problem. Amir Rabbi Meir, eno mitamei mishum ketem, mitamei mishum mashke. If that's not a problem because of a stain, at least it should be a problem because of a liquid. The Gemara will explain all the statement of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Meir, lokach v'lokach. None of them is true. Ezu adom, what is red? Kedama makah. That's like a wound, the blood of a wound. Shachor, what is black? Kecheret, like the sediment of ink. Amok mikan, if it's darker color than that, tameh. Tiha mikan, if it's lighter than that, tahor. Kekeren karkom, we're talking about the bright crocus. Kivarur Shabo, the clearest one in it, and the Gemara will discuss where that is in tomorrow's daf. Uchumimei Adama, we're talking about this mix of water and earth or soil. That's me, Bibkat Beit Kerem, earth or soil that came from this area, the valley by Beit Kerem, made Saf Mayim, and it floats water on top of it. Again, that'll be discussed in tomorrow's daf. Uchumazug, when we're talking about diluted wine, Shnei Chalaki Mayim Vechad Yain. It's two parts water to one part wine. Minayayin Shironi. That's from the wine that comes from the Sharon. Gemara now asks, Minolan Diga Dam Tor Bisha. How do you know at all that there's any dam that is tahor within the woman? Dilma, kodam dat minot tamei. All blood that emanates from the woman, from the mekor, is automatically tamei, irrespective of color, irrespective of anything else. It's automatically tamei. How do you know to make such a distinction? I'm Rabbi Chama Bar Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yoshaya, I'm Krua. The Pasuk says in Devarim, Ki palei mimcha davar l'mishpat ben dam l'dam ben dam tahor l'dam tamei. When it says over there, when you need to come up to Yerushalayim, when there's something that's difficult, and you come up to the Beit Din HaGadol to be discerning about, ben dam l'dam, between blood and blood. So what's between blood and blood? Ben dam tahor l'dam tamei. Must be that you're coming to distinguish between dam that is tamei and dam that is tahor. Elemiato, the continuation, the Pasuk says, ben nega l'ne. What are you going to do with that? Halchanami ben nega tameh le nega tahor. Are you going to say the same thing there? That we're distinguishing between a nega that is tameh and a nega that is tahor? Chitei halchanami, if you say in halchanami, yes, that is the case. Nega tahor miika. There is no such thing as a nega tahor. Nega, by definition, is tameh. V'chitema kulo afach lavan tahor hu. That it says in the pasuk that if it turns all white, then it is tahor. How boik mikre. Pasuk calls something that is a nega, but is much lighter in color than a nega needs to be. It's no longer called a nega, it's called a boik. And a boik is not a nega. So then you can't say the distinction there is between nega tameh and nega tahor. Ella, what do you have to say? Ben nige adam le nige batim le nige bigadim. The distinction over there is between things that deal with Nigei Adam, and Dinim that deal with Nigei Batim, and Dinim that deal with Nigei Bigadim. V'chulan et Tmeim. But everything we're speaking about over there is Tamei. Hachanami, also in our case, ben Dam Nida le Dam Ziva. You can be distinguishing between the Dam of a Nida and the Dam of a Ziva. V'chulan et Tmeim. They're both Tamei. It's just we need to know what the Din is with regards to Dam Ziva and Dam Nida. Where it says, Hai Mai, how can you compare these cases? Bishla Mahotam. Over there, by the case of Nigayim, Ikale Fluge, you can distinguish bin Nigay Adam. And now the Gemara is going to go through each of the cases by Nigayim. The situation in the Torah, in Sefer Dvarim, is talking about a Zaken Mamre. Zaken Mamre is someone who has a machloket against the Beit Din, and it elevates or escalates to the point where it reaches Beit Din HaGadol. And when they reach Beit Din HaGadol, Beit Din HaGadol will give their psak. The Zaken Mamre, at that time, must accept the psak of that Beit Din HaGadol. If he doesn't, then he becomes a Zaken Mamre, and he's liable for death for violating the final Pesach of Beit Din HaGadol. So the issues that are being raised here have to be things that are machloket in interpretation. It can't be something that's straight out in the Pesukim. It has to be something where the Pesuk says something, and then there's an interpretation by Chachamim in order to be a machloket, and that machloket is what brings them up to the Beit Din HaGadol. So here the Gemara is going to describe to us machlokot that exist in each one of these categories that could be the machloket between the Zakin Mamrei and his friends or his peers in Beit Din that they take up to be adjudicated at the Beit Din HaGadol. So by Nige Adam, Ubuplugta Rabbi Shua Berabonon, there they can have the machloket between Rishu and Rabbanan. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah in Baharet Kodem Lesear Lavan. If the nega precedes the hairs on it, two white hairs are a siman tum'ah on a nega. If the beheret came before the se'ar lavan, the hair turned white after there was already a nega, tamei. Im se'ar lavan kodem le'beheret. On the other hand, if the se'ar lavan comes first, and then the beheret only afterwards, then it's tahor. Safek, if we don't know which comes first, then it's tamei misafek. Rishua omer kiha. V'amar rabo. Rabba says this kiha bitahor. The kiha that we're describing here means that Rabbi Shmuel thinks that it's tahor. So over here, it's unclear about what this kiha means. Rashi interprets kiha to mean, like the word keha, kiha means that it lightened. It's in the tumult of nigayim. It says that if it waited and you closed it up for a week and it faded and it's white, then it's tahor. So Rabbi Shmuel is saying tahor, but he's using this terminology, kiha, that comes from the keha, which comes from the world of nigayim. On the other hand, Rashi himself brings an alternative girsa from Rabbi Moshe Darshan. The kiha here is spelled a kuf and not a kuf. Komar kiha. Ha-ba-davar, that he took a strong position on this issue, but nechlak alav, and they argued with him. Kiha, like we use in the Haggadah, hikha et shinav, to knock out his teeth. And it's something that is aggressive or opposing. And so that's what it means, hikha, over here. Tosafot also brings alternatives to kiha. He says, Perush Amad the Minyan. He went to get together to see if they could get a psak alocha against that position of the Chachamim. So they went to decide or go to a vote of decision in the Beit Din, and that's what it means, kiha. And the word kiha means lashon asifa, of gathering together. So those are a number of interpretations, but what we do know is that Rabbi Shua argues on the Chachamim, and the machloket, but here that the Beit Din HaGadol is going to adjudicate is between Rabbi Shua and the Chachamim. Minigei batim, tim kaha plukta, the Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Onon. There we also have a machloket, which could be the source of the controversy here. That's not Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer Lolam, in a Beit Tamei, that you only are chayav, or you only become tamei bitumat nigei batim, when on two stones you have in a corner of the house a nega that stretches out to two grisim. The minimum shear of a nega is a gris, the size of a legume, and that size has to stretch across two stones in the corner to be basically, it has to be two grisim wide by one gris high along the wall. Keren Zavit. Arko kishnei grisim, the length is two grisim, rachvo, and the width, or the height, is one gris. My time. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, what's his reasoning? Ktiv, ktir, or ktiv kirot. In the parsha of Nigei Batim, it says one time kir in the singular, and says kirot in the plural. Ezuhi kir, shehu shnei kirot. Where is there a location along the wall, which that single location is really two walls? V'mir zeh keren zavit. That is the corner. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon believes that you need two grisim in the corner across two stones on two walls in order to be tamei bitumat nigei batim. On the other hand, the Chachamim disagree, and that could be the controversy between this zakein and his peers. Binigei begadim. In nigei begadim, you could say b'plukta Rabbi Yochanan ben Avtumalumus v'rabana detain Rabbi Yonatan ben Avtumalumus omer minayin l'pricha b'begadim shi Torah. How do we know that when a nega spreads out across the whole beged, it's tahor? Nemar karachat v'gabachat b'begadim. Nemar karachat v'gabachat ba'adam. It uses the term terminology, karacha v'gavachat, by begadim and by adam. Now, by adam, it's understandable, because they're talking about a person that is bald. Karacha and gavachat are balding from the front and balding from the back. So that's the difference in terminology. But karacha v'gavachat, by begadim, don't really make any sense. Over there, the Targum interprets it, and we say that it's talking about chadash v'yashan. But why use the terminology karacha v'gabachat? Ella, it's a gzera shava, to teach you that malahalan, just like by adam, parach b'kulo tahor, if the nega spreads across the entirety of the individual, then he is tahor. Afkan, nami parach b'kulo tahor. Same is true over here by the begadim. If it spreads across the entire beged, it's tahor. So the chamim disagree with Rabbi Yonatan ben Avtumalumus over there. So there we have sets of machlokot where the zakein and his peers could argue, and that's what they could be coming up to the Beit Din HaGadol to adjudicate. Elohacha idam tahor leka b'may plige. If we're not talking about dam tahor, what's the machloket about over here? There's no machloket within dam ledam. What distinction are you making within the damim? So the Gemara says it's clear that ben dam ledam means ben dam tamei ledam tahor. And we know for sure that there is a certain amount of dam that emanates from the woman that is tahor. The Gemara now says, well, this is the question. How do you distinguish between which colors are tamei and which colors are tahor? So Gemara says, that Moab saw the waters when they were coming to the battle. They saw the waters that were filled with blood, and they thought that many people had been killed. So they see that blood is designated or distinguished by its reddish color. Remember the dam adomo. So you can see from that that blood must be red. Ema adom betulo. Let's say that the blood is only red and nothing else. There are two psukim that speak about the nida. And in both of those psukim, it uses the word dameha in the plural. So it says in the parsha, in the beginning of Tazria, by Yoledet, it says, V'ikrivo l'fnei Hashem v'chiper alev v'tahara mimkor dameha. She'll be tahara from the dam that comes out of her mikor. And there it says dameha in the plural. Also in Vayikrachet, in Parshat Kedoshim, it says, Ish asher yishkav v'disha dava v'gila et ervatayt mikorah hera, v'hi giltayt mikor dameha, v'nechritu shneem mikor v'amam. So the word dameha, which is a plural, is used twice. Dameha two, that gives you four. So we know there are four colors that are problematic. Mar says, Harikan arba, v'hanan chamishatnan. Our mission says five colors. So Amar Rabbi Chanina, shachor adomho, ela shalaka. That really, black is not a separate color. Black is just bread gone bad. Tanyinami Ochi, we have a bright that supports that understanding. Shachor kacheret. The shachor that we're talking about is like the sediment of ink. Amok mikan tamei. If it's darker than that, it's tamei dia. If it's lighter than that, I feel kikachol. Even if it's blue, like a dark blue, tahor. Shachor ze lo mitzchilatohu mashchir. It's not that it was originally black. Like shenakar hu mashchir. That once the blood was discharged as red, then it turned to black. Mashal, the dama makah. It's like someone who gets an injury or a cut. Shenakar hu mashchir. When the blood leaves the human being, it darkens and becomes black. So the black over here is not a siman or a color by itself, it's an extension of the red color. Even something that is the color of water and fenugreek. What does Beit Shammai do with the limud? That there are only four types of colors that are problematic. They're adding on other colors. One answer is, they don't hold of that limud. That they do have that limud. There are only four colors that are problematic, but these are derivatives of those colors. Just like black is a derivative of red gone bad, so too this meitlatan and the liquid that comes out of the roasted meat, those are also colors of red or other colors that have gone bad. Where it says, Ubeitila mitarim. Beit Hillel argues on Beit Shammai, where it says, Hainu Tanakama. The Tanakama also thinks the same thing. So why do you need Beit Hillel to argue if the Tanakama is saying the same thing? So Yigvenayu, there is a nafkamina between the Tanakama and the Beit Hillel, which is litlot, whether it's considered a safek or not. According to Beit Hillel, they're tahor the gamre. There's no question about the tumah at all. Whereas according to the Tanakama, those five dimine damim are tamei vadai. The other colors that are mentioned, Beit Shammai, are only tamei misafek. One comes Beit Hillel, says, no, they're tahor the gamre. Then we have Hayarok, the yellow, according to Akavya Bim and Hallel. So here is where Tosafot says that the Yerok that we're talking about here is not green, but rather yellow. And that when the Gemara wants to tell it's green, it modifies Yerok, like Yerok kekarti. But the Stam Yerok of the Gemara is yellow. So over here, Akavya ben Hallel says that yellow is tamei. What does Akavya ben Hallel do with that limud of tamei adamei? There are only four minei damim that are problematic. Some say that he doesn't have it. Now Tosafot says over here, means not that he doesn't have that limud, but he has additional psukim to add in other colors. Although we don't know what those psukim are, the more likely reading of the Gemara is that he doesn't have that limitation. Don't we have Rabbi Chanina's statement that black is not a separate color, but rather red that went bad? This yellow colored blood is some sort of perversion or derivative of another color that went bad. Chamim mitarim. The Chamim say no tahor. Again, Hainu Tanakama. The Tanakama disagrees with the Akavya ben Hallel as well. So the Chamim or Tarim are the same thing as the Tanakama. Ikibenayu litlot. Again, the same nafkamin that we had with Beit Hillel. Chamim will say tahor legamre. The Tanakama, in the case of Akavya ben Hallel, will say that it's a safek. Then we have the statement of Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah. When we read the Mishnah, we said we'll come back to the Gemara to explain it, and now the Gemara is going to explain it, which is Amar Rabbi Meir, Einu Mitamei Shum Ketim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yerad Rabbi Meir the Shitat Akavya Ben Hallel. Rabbi Meir holds like Akavya Ben Hallel Vitimei, and therefore he's Mitamei, V'Hochi Kamar Elohu. And this is what Rabbi Meir is saying to the Rabbanon. Nehi Dehecha Dekamish Kachat Ketim Yarok Amana Lo Mitamitu. I understand when you find yellow stain on a beged, on a piece of clothing, that you're not mitameyet. Heicha de kachazia dam yarok migufat titameyet. Then at least when she's seeing a liquid that's emanating or being discharged by her that is yellow, there you gotta say that it's something that it's definitely gotta be dam nida. Mar says, ihochi, then the wording in the Mishnah is incorrect. Imenu mitamei mishum ketem. The way Rabbi Meir phrases the Mishnah is, well, okay, you're not going to say it's not mitame because of a stain, but it is mitame because of liquid. He shouldn't say mitame mishum mashke, mishum ro'ah, mi boy. She would say because of her sighting. It has nothing to do with mashke, it has to do with her sighting a discharge. Elohi kamaru, this is what he's saying to them. Nehi de'echadaka chazya dam yarok mi'ikara lo mitamitu. If she sees yellow discharge originally, then it's not tame. Echadaka chazya dam adom. If she already seen red, vehadar chazia dam yarok, and then afterwards she starts to see a yellow discharge, titamei midahava mashke zavazava. She should be tamei, or that liquid should be tamei. Okay, it doesn't make her into a nida, but after she's already a nida, that type of discharge should be no worse than a liquid that's discharged by a zava or a zava, which have a din like them. Like the roke and the spit that comes out of a zavazava, they have any liquid that emanates from them, urine, spit, spittle, mucus, anything that exits them, is considered to be tamei with their tuma, with abatuma. Rabbanan dumya derok. That's only true when the liquid is similar to spit. Ma rok shemit akil biyotze. Right, like saliva that gathers together first and then is discharged. Av kol shemit gagel biyotze. It's means something, a liquid that gathers together and then only afterwards is discharged. This discharge is a liquid, comes out straight. It doesn't gather together and then discharge. But says, Yehochi shabi kamerle the Rabbanan, the Rabbi Meir. The Rabbanan have a good answer to Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir's position then? This is really what Rabbi Meir means. Kimashke lachshir et ezraim. At least make it like a liquid that is good enough to be machshir ezraim. We know this in the Dinei Tuma v'tara. In order for an ochel to be mikabel tuma, it first has to be mukshar the kabel tuma. It has to be prepared to be mikabel tuma. And the Torah tells us that's through a liquid passing over the ochel. That liquid that passes over there has to be one of the seven liquids. Yad, shachat, dam. Those are the seven liquids that make something mukshar the kabel tuma. Yayin, dam, shemen, chalav, tal, dvash, and mayim. Those are the liquids, the seven liquids that make something a mukshar the kabel tuma. So dam, blood, is one of them. So over here, fine. She's not tamei because it's dam nida. But at least it should be a discharge of liquid that's classified like dam that should be good enough to be makshir zraim. Rabbanan bai dam chalalim v'leko. The only time that something is classified as a liquid for dam is dam chalalim yishteh. So that's from the pasuk. The pasuk says dam chalalim yishteh. It makes it into a liquid. Dam chalalim is only lifeblood. Lifeblood, when the first blood that is yotzei, that nefesh yotzaba, that the life force of a person leaves with, that is considered to be a liquid. But blood in general is not considered to be a liquid. So yofi shabir kamelu rabbanan the Rabbi Meir again. Rabbanan have a good claim against Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir's position? He says, "Alfu abigzera shava." I'll give you a gzera shava that it is classified as a liquid. It says in Shir Hashirim, "Shelachayich pardes rimonim." Your shoots are like an orchard of pomegranates. Rashi explains that the mashal and the nimshal refers to a woman. Like an orchard that is locked, lishtamer, that is watched and guarded for no one to enter. Kach benot Yisrael noalot pitchem. So too, the Jewish women pose themselves to their husbands, b'mei nidutam, when they are b'nei nidutam, like the color of the rimon. And he's like, k'lebayam in primigadim, hanu banim, the continuation of the pasuk in primigadim, in order to make children, uchtiv. And then we have the other pasuk that's written in Yov, for sholeach maim al pnei chutzot, talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu who puts water on the faces of the fields. So there you see the word sholeach. So sholeach of maim, and then sholeach here, which is referring to a nida. So we see that the dam nida has a qualification like mayim. And Mayim is one of the seven Mashkim, that is Makshir, the Kabbal Tumah. So if this Dam is classified like Mayim, it should be Makshir. Rabbanon, respond to Rabbi Meir. Adam Dan Kabbachom Me'atzmo. Talk about logical arguments. A person can do on his own logic. A person can develop that on his own and can make arguments based on logic. But Gezer Shava and Adam Dan Gezer Shava Me'atzmo. Person cannot make up a Gezer Shava. Gezer Shava is using words in the Torah and comparing the two words and saying, well, one means this, then the other one must mean this. And because of that, I have a limud. So that gzeira shava has to be something, as Rashi says, that you have a kabbalah, mirabo, from your rebbe, aloha lamoshe misinai. It's not something that you can make up along the way. It has to be something that you have a misora for. So there's a number of interesting issues here. First of all, the gzeira shava is not from the Torah. Gzeira shava is from the tuvim, and we're still using that to define water. So that's interesting. Most times you have such a limit like that, the Gemara either calls it a smachto, or the Gemara says it's a mare mokom. It's just giving us a definition of the word. It's not giving us a real gzeirah shavah. It's just telling us that dam nidah is defined or has a classification like mayim. So it's not a real full-fledged gzeirah shavah. If it's not a real full-fledged gzeirah shavah, but rather just mar'eh to us the meaning of the word, then over there you could have such a definition that doesn't come by misora. That's interesting from one end perspective that it's first of all in the Tuvim, and number two is that what was Rabbi Meir doing? He was being done as gzeirah shavah, and the Chachamim say, well, of course Rabbi Meir knows that he can't be done as gzeirah shavah. So it seems to me that it makes a lot more sense to indicate that over here, Rabbi Meir is not trying to make it into a real gzeirah shavah, but rather having to define what a liquid is, and saying that dam nidah is defined as a liquid. And the Chachamim say that that's a drasha. That's a drasha on the pasuk of Shalayach Pardes Rimonim. That's not the pashtut of the pasuk. And therefore, you can't be done such a definition from something that's a drasha, not from something that's the pashtut or obvious within the pasuk. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lokach, lokach. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Hainu Tanakama. Again, Rabbi Yossi is like the Tanakama, because Rabbi Meir is arguing on the Tanakama, and then Rabbi Yossi argues on Rabbi Meir. So when it says, Ha'akamashmalan, man Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi. From this we conclude, who is the Tanakama who altered the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. B'chol Omer, Davar B'Shem Omro, Mevi Gula Olam. So therefore, the Mishnah in the end brought Rabbi Yossi's name, because quoting it, B'Shem Omro, is important. And now we know that Rabbi Yossi is the one who altered the Mishnah. Ezu Adom, Kedama Maka. He said that what is considered to be red is like blood from an injury. My Kedama Maka, Am Rabbi Yudam Shmo, Kedam Shor Shachut. It's like a blood that emanates from a Shchita of an ox. The Lema Kedam Shchita. Why are you saying Keshor Shachut? Why did you say Dam Shchita? Of the shechting process, the blood comes out. Iyamar Kedam Shchita, if I said the blood of Shchita, Avamina Kekula Shchita. The whole process of Shechita. Along the whole process of Shechita, you have a lot of blood that exits the animal. That blood is changing colors along the way. Mashmalan, that the dam that we're interested in is Kedama Makal Ketchilat HaKa'ashel Sakin. The first cut that the knife makes into the animal, that blood that emanates then, that's the red that we're looking for. Ulamar Kedam Tzipor Chaya, like a live bird. Now Chaya can be interpreted in two ways, and that's what the Gemara is going to say here. Ibalu, Chaya Lafuke Shechut. A live bird means alive and not dead, meaning not shechted already. Oh, Dilma lafuke kachush. Or is chaya mean a bird that's alive? Alive meaning it's healthy and it's good. Not a kachush, not a weak or sickly bird. Teiku, there the Gemara doesn't know which one he's referring to. Ziri amar Rabbi Chanina kedama kolet shorosh. It's like the blood of a head louse. Meitave, is that really true? Haragama kolet? Or is it tole ba? She killed a louse. She can be tole a sighting of red on her bigadim with that killing of the louse. My love de kule gufa. That she killed a louse anywhere on her body. So, de rosha. No, we're gonna say that's only a louse from the head. Ami Vardina, either Vardina is the name of a place, Ami is from Vardina, or Vardina means very pretty and beautiful, so Ami the beautiful. Ami Rabbi Bahu, Kedam Etzpaktana Shel Yad, it's like the blood that emanates from a cut in the pinky. Shenakfa, that was already cut once, V'chaita, then healed. V'chaz Rabbi Nakfa, and then it was cut again. V'lo Shel Kol Adam, this is not in any person, Elo Shel Bachur, a young man. Shelo Nasa Isha, that is yet to be married. Bad Kama, until what age? Ad Ben Esrim, until 20 years old. So it's a young man who is yet to be married until the age of 20. That blood that emanates from his pinky, his small finger, that was injured once and then re-injured again. Is that really true? We said that if she finds damim on her clothing, red on her clothing, and her husband or her son were with her, then she can be tole that if they had some sort of blood or bleeding on them, that was there, it was caused by them. So bishlama bibina, we can talk about her son, mishkachala. That makes sense, because it's her son who's not married, who's young enough that the blood matters. Elabala, echa mishkachala. If it's her husband, then how could you do that? We just said here, it has to be an unmarried man in order for the blood to have that redness to it. If the rednesses aren't the same, then even if she came into contact with blood from her husband, it wouldn't be mixed up with dam nidah, because they're different colors. They got married, they were in the chuppah, but they have yet to cohabitate together. So because of that, he's still bala, but there was not bala'el yet his wife, and therefore his dam can be tole on. It's like the blood of bloodletting. That blood that comes out when you bloodlet, that is the redness that we're looking for. This is a question, all the opinions here. Meir was tole in colorium, which was an eye makeup or salve that was used by the women, that was reddish. Rebbe Talab Sraf Shikma, with a sap of a sycamore, which is also, both of these are red, but very light forms of red. They don't match up with any of the colors that were mentioned by the previous opinions here. My Lava Adom, that they're describing here the red color, and they're saying that that's a way to say that this woman's not a nidah, because the coloring could have come from one of these items. So the man says, Lava Shar Damim, we're talking about other parts of the coloring scheme here. Not about red. The very red, this isn't the definition of red. Red is defined by all those opinions we had before. This is a definition for some of the other breads that we have in the Mishnah. And this is comparable to them or can be confused with them. And therefore, if you find this type of bread on the Beged, we can assume it came from this other factor, like the sap of a sycamore or the eye makeup, if she had been involved with either of those items, and not say that she is a Nida. Amemar Marzucha Ravashi Abayatve Kame Umna. The three of them went to the bloodletter in order to have their blood let. Shakalei Karna Kamaitel Amemar. From a Meimar, they took out the first horn or cup of bloodletting. Chazi, when he saw it, Amar Lahu, Dom Tetzanan Kihai. That bread that you're seeing in that first cup, that's what we mentioned in the Mishnah. The bread of the Mishnah, that's this. Shakalei Achrite. They bloodlet another cup's worth. Amar Lahu, Ishtane. That's a different color already. That's not the red that the Mishnah meant. So Amar Ravashi, who was there at the time, and says, Kon Ana Delo Yadana Ben Hai Lahai, says, I couldn't see any difference between the red of the first cup and the red of the second cup. I should not be seeing any Marot Tamim. And so Ravashi wasn't one of those people that did Marot Tamim, because he couldn't distinguish that finely between the different reds that were there. Okay, we'll stop over here.